A date which will live in infamy. The words of FDR still echo today as we mark 80 years since the attack on Pearl Harbor. Japan's surprise bombing, just before 8 o'clock in the morning on December 7, 1941, prompted the U.S. to rush into World War II. That attack killed more than 2,400 people.
The once mighty Arizona now rests on Pearl Harbor's muddy bottom, a pitiful relic of its former self, a grim monument to the treachery of Japan.
And now the National World War II Museum in New Orleans has a new special exhibit. It's called Infamy, Pearl Harbor Remembered. Tom Chikansky is senior curator, and he joins us. Tom, welcome.
Well, thank you. It's nice to be with you.
Now, your museum asks people, explicitly or implicitly, to ponder their own connections to Pearl Harbor. It turns out your father was in the barracks there that day. How does this personalize this project for you?
Well, having my father at Schofield Barracks, Territory, Hawaii, and then he continued to serve throughout World War II, along with my uncle and an aunt, provides a very tangible connection for me. As I work on things here at the museum, it makes it very easy to want to do the best job possible for all those Americans who served in the war.
Now, Tom, your museum already covers the attack, but this new exhibit explores how it was remembered at the time and now. So in late 1941 and early 1942, how was this attack framed in the public imagination?
This attack really united the country in its efforts to join the war and in the country's resolve to win the war. And Remember Pearl Harbor became the slogan and watchword from recruiting to fundraising, and that slogan appeared on jewelry and on posters and in songs just throughout the war effort. It gave people a nice, tangible reason of why we needed to be at war.
Your timing is perfect. We have a couple songs queued up with the Remember Pearl Harbor phrase in it. Let's listen to a couple. The first one is by Sammy Kay.
We will always remember how they died for liberty. Let's remember Pearl Harbor and go on to victory.
Okay, and here is one more from Carson Robeson.
Remember Pearl Harbor. Here's a job we can do, you and me. Keep them flying high, clear across the pond. Make our dollars fight, buy another bond. Remember Pearl Harbor, day and night, pray and fight, carry on.
Well, buy another bond. I mean, as you're describing, these patriotic, these propaganda songs galvanized the American public. But before the attack, were Americans politically all over the map as to whether to join the Allies or perhaps to join the Axis side?
They were. Americans were deeply divided. I would say the majority of Americans wanted to stay neutral. They felt we had no business getting involved in another foreign war, as most people saw it. There were a small number of people who thought that maybe we should be on the Axis side. And there were people who wanted to more fully support the Allies, and there were people who saw what the Japanese were doing in China and were greatly opposed to that actions. But no one agreed. And after Pearl Harbor, when Roosevelt made his famous Day of Infamy speech and asked Congress to declare war on Japan, there was only one congresswoman who voted no. Otherwise, it was a unanimous vote, which is just an amazing thing to me that everyone said, yes, we will declare war on Japan.
Now, from a public messaging perspective, are there trade-offs to this notion of rallying? I mean, I looked at the lyrics to the Carson Robeson song, and some of the words are what we today would call racist, dehumanizing depictions of the Japanese. And we know that soon after that, FDR authorizes the internment of Japanese Americans.
Certainly, the times were different, and many of the lyrics of that song are difficult to listen to today, given our current understanding. You know, I think if nothing else, the hate that was felt for the Japanese after Pearl Harbor contributed to the intensity of the war with Japan.
Your exhibit also profiles some individuals from that day. Can you tell me the story about the Hawaiian shipyard worker?
This is a man named Juan de Castro. He was a Hawaiian, and he was at work that Sunday morning at the shipyard in Pearl Harbor. And when he saw the Oklahoma roll over, he knew that there'd be men trapped, and he knew he could do something about it. So he organized other workers from the shipyard, and they went over to the Oklahoma with chipping hammers. And they used these to chisel through the steel of the ship. And it was a slow process and very tiring, but they kept after it. And by 2:30 in the morning of December 9th, they had rescued the last person they could get to. And in all, they pulled 32 men out of the Oklahoma.
Now, history with time allows us to take a fresh new look at an event like this. What do you want visitors to ask themselves as they take in this new exhibit?
I think it's important for visitors to look at the idea that Pearl Harbor was something that united this country, and it was something that had Congress act in the best interest of the country. And I think it's important for us to remember that we need to be able to consider all sides of a matter and work towards what is best for this country.
Tom Chikansky is senior curator of a new special exhibit at the National World War II Museum in New Orleans. It's called Infamy, Pearl Harbor Remembered. Tom, thanks for the time.
It's been my pleasure.